None of them are not that well known. There are more quotes, a minhag, that everybody goes to mikveh on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the Rosh, in the very end of Yuma, most of Maseches Yuma is about the korbanos that were brought on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rosh doesn't write on the topics that are not halachic ma'aser. So the Rosh doesn't have any commentary on the first seven prokim in Yuma, just on the eighth parak. The eighth parak is halachic ma'aser, about the Chamisha Inuim, about fasting on Yom Kippur. So the very last Rosh in Maseches Yuma quotes from the Rav Haigoyen about going to Mikvah Nerev Yom Kippur. So the Rosh understood that Rav Haigoyen is trying to say that the din, there is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in the first parak, Chai Bottom Latai Ratzma Barega. The Pasuk says that if you touch a dead behemah, if you shech the behemah, so it's not Tame, but if a behemah dies a natural death, so there has a din of Tumah. Whoever touches it becomes Tame. The Pasuk says, din of losim loisi go. You're not allowed to touch an avela. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah asked the Kasha, how can it be Kohanim are only forbidden to come in contact with a human mace? A dead behemah, even a kohen, is permitted to be mitar. How can you have a pasuk that speaks to all of klal yisrael, din of losim loisi go? There is no such thing. So the Gemara says, no, that pasuk goes berega. On the Yamim Tovim, Chai Vodim Tairatzma berega. So the Rosh understood that the Rav Haigon, who required tefillin and mikvah and Erev Yom Kippur, is extending that din, that it doesn't only apply to the Sholosh Regalim, it even applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and it even applies Bizman Hazeh. Even applies Bizman Hazeh Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Others disagree with the Rav Haigoyen, and they say that there is no such din. The din of Chai Baram Tairatz Mebregel only applies to Sholosh Regalim because it's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. You have to walk into the Azara. So whoever is Tameh is not permitted to enter the Azara. The din doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh, no one is entering into the Azor. And the din doesn't apply Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and there's no mitzvah of the other regal, it's only on Sholosh Regal. So that's one understanding of the Ramah. The Ramah quotes this Chumrah that everyone should go to Mikveh on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So one group of Acharenim understand that this is based on that Rosh at the end of Rosh Hashanah, that Chai Varam Tairatzma Beregel even applies Bizman Hazeh, and it even applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Ramah does not. The Ramah happens only to have an Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur. He never says an Erev Sholosh Regalim. But according to this understanding, it's the Chakal V'Chaimah. If he says it, it applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So it implies to the Iker is on Pesach Shavuot Sukkis. It means that everybody knows. He says even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But in other Rishonim, they have other Rishonim who quote this practice. They have a totally different understanding of what this is all about. They say that the practice of going to mikveh Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur is a different story. The Gemara in Brochus in the end of the second parak quotes, the Gemara in Bava Kama says that Ezra Sofer made 10 takonas. So one of the takonas Ezra was that a balkari, a man who's a balkari, or a woman who's a palatish, they're not permitted to daven, they're not permitted to learn. And this takana was always untergrunk and abyssalot, and not everybody was observing it. It was uncomfortable. They have to go to mikveh. So finally, after quite a few generations, Ezra Sofer was at the beginning of Binyan Bayis Sheni. He was involved in the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. After the Churban HaBayis, several centuries later, after the Churban HaBayis, one of the later Tanoim repealed the whole gzeirah. And he said, based on a pasuk, halakot dvari ko'esh niyum Hashem, divrei Torah are like fire. Just like fire is not mekabel tumah, so too divrei Torah not mekabel tumah. And a balkari nishgefelach, a balkari is permitted to learn. And he never said whether balkari is permitted to daven. It's unclear whether Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, who repealed the takanas Ezra, and he says a balkari is permitted to learn, halakot dvari ko'esh. Is it only on learning, or did he repeal the Takana Sezri even with respect to davening? So this is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raya. So the Rambam says he repealed the Takana, no more Takana. He says, the Rambam says, Chasidim Anshei Maise, Midas Chasidim says that you should go to mikveh when you daven. And the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah that he personally always went to mikveh before he davened. He was a closet kosher. He always went to mikveh before he daven, but he says that strictly speaking, you don't have to. And the Ravid disagrees. We don't have a Ravid on the Rambam, we don't have, but the Rosh quotes, the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. And he holds that that it's not true. The Takana says it was only repealed with respect to learning. With respect to davening, the Takana still b'mkom omedes, that Balkeri has to go to mikveh. So that's why the chassidim are machmer. Chassidim go to mikveh before they daven, because they're choshish for the shittas arayvet, that a Balkeri is not allowed to daven. Nikra din, not allowed to daven. So they have in the Shadis of Shuvas Min HaShemayim, the Rabbi Natam had a Talmud. Rabbi Natam is Rashi's grandson. His name is Rabbi Yankiv. So they called him Rabbi Natam because it says in Chumash, Rabbi Yaakov Ishtam. So he has a Talmud who was also named Yaakov and also Tmimizdek. So they called him they called him also Rabbi Natam. They called him also the Rabbi Natam. So this Talmud had strange, he used to dream in learning. He used to have dreams that he used to ask Shilas of the angels. And then when he woke up in the morning, he recorded it. So they have a thin little sefer that's called Shilas to Tshuvas Min HaShemayim. The Shilas that he asked the Malachim in his dream and the answers that they gave. So sometimes that's the answers were El V'Yelut Yivere Kim Chaim. The Malachim didn't want to take a stand in Machloikis. And sometimes they would give an answer. So he asked them, what's the story, the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether you have to go to mikveh in order to daven? So they told him, mikra din, this machlokes, mikra din lahokel, but aseres and mechuvah, you should be machma. Like we're machma, we don't eat pasakum, even people who eat pasakum all year long, but we know aseres and mechuvah, the Shulchan Aruch says, you should avoid eating paspalta, you shouldn't eat bread that was baked by Goisha Baker, even though mikra din, we hold it's mutter. So we're machmen, and other things you're machmen, aseres yimei tshuva. So in the Shalas Tivish and HaShemayim, so it says, even those that don't go to mikveh all year long for the purpose of davening, but for Hashoni Yom Kip and all aseres yimei tshuva, they should be machmen to be choshish for the shittas arayv. And it's not that it's a Hashoni Yom Kip and Kavachayim or Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. No, it's only Rosh Hashoni Yom Kip and aseres yimei tshuva. Nothing to do with Chai Vodim Natayra Atzma Berega. So yeah, a special thing that in aseres yimei tshuva, we're machmer for the shittas arayvet that a balkeri should not be mispunt. So this is the common minute that if a person is healthy, a person is not healthy, so let him not go to the mikveh, just catch pneumonia. But if a person is healthy, so the minute is that everybody goes to the mikveh on Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the minute that you recite slichas in advance of Rosh Hashanah. By the Sfardim they start from Rosh Chodesh El, by the Ashkenazim they start just a few days before. And the Shulchan Aruch writes an interesting practice that Hamaskal the mitzvah omim lo gemor, that the one who says slichas in the morning, this to say slichas 5 o'clock in the morning, the one who says slichas has the schus to daven for an omid, that if he chooses to, if he wants to, he can give it away to someone else. But if he has the first crack at serving as the shlich tzibur to daven in shachris and mincha on the same day. Because Hamaskal the mitzvah omim lo gemor. So the poskim are all bothered with Akasha. Why don't you say that on a regular, let's say a regular Shabbos? You say whoever davens for an omid shachris has the schus to daven musa for an omid and to daven mincha. It's not so. The gabbai is mechabed one person to daven shachris, mechabed a different person to daven musa. Does the bal shachris have a right to taina Hamaskal the mitzvah omim lo gemor? Since I daven shachris, you have to let me daven for an omid musa. You have to let me daven for an omid mincha. There is no such thing. So what's happens all of a sudden over here by slichas that it should be amascha b'mitzvah amim lo gemor? Hashver is after. Reb Shlomo Levilner has in his Tshuvas Binyan Shlomo, he talks about this, he thinks that that's not the real reason. The Magen Avraham says that's the reason, he thinks that it can't be. Get that a different time. He says, the daven for an omid, to say slichas 5 o'clock morning, you got to come on time. Most of the people don't come on time. By the end of the slichas, there are twice as many people as in the beginning of the slichas. You have to give him a bonus. You have to give some reward to the one who wakes up on time and comes to shul, and he's and not just he walks in the last second, the second, and the saying Asher Yosher Yisrael. He's there and he puts on the talis and he missions to the place and he's there. So you give him a bonus to encourage people that they should come to slichas on time. They should want to come on time. So whoever is the chazan for the slichas, so the bonus is that you let him daven shachris and mincha also fine. That's how Shlomo Levilner thinks. But the Magen Avraham says the reason why is Hamaskal v'Nitzvah Amul Lagmar says Takashver, what are you doing on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov? The one who daven shachris does not have the right to daven musaf and to daven mincha also. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the pshat in this, they asked him this kasha, what kind of a pshat is this? So he thought that the pshat is like this. if a person, he thought that Shachris and Musaf and Minche are unrelated to each other. Amascha Mitzvah Amal Gemara is only to finish that off, to finish off what you began. Musaf is not a Gemara of Shachris. You say Kaddish Tiskapel at the end of Shachris and finished. And Minche is not a Gemara of Musaf. Each one is unrelated. But he thought, let's say a person gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning, or let's say he says Slich is 1 o'clock at night, midnight. He says Slich is 1 o'clock at night. And then he's so tired, he goes to sleep, and he misses davening. He doesn't daven Shachris, and he doesn't daven Minche, he doesn't daven the rest of the day. But at least he did Slichas. At least he did Slichas. So he thought that he's not even Yotze Slichas. He thought that Slichas means a hakdomah to the Tfilos Hayom, an introduction to the rest of the Tfilos of the day. But if you only say the Slichas, you only say the introduction, you never get to daven Shachris and Minche, so the introduction is Nishkin introduction. So he thought that's why the one who daven Slichas, he said the introduction to the Tfilos Hayom, so that's called Hamaschum Mitzvah. I mean, look more. The Shachris and the Minche are a Gemar, it's all the Hemshech of the Slichas. But whoever daven Shachris, let's say on Yom Kippur, whoever daven Shachris should also daven Musaf and Minche and Nila? No. Nila is not a Gemar of Minche. Minche is not a Hemshech of Musaf. Musaf is not a Hemshech of Shachris. Special din he thought only in Slichas, because that's the nature of Slichas. He thought that the Pshat and the meaning of Slichas is that it's a Hakdomah to the Tfilos Hayom.
That's why the accepted says that he
concludes
the
Ma'ariv
the
previous Ma'ariv. That's a Shtar Kitab. So the Mogen Avraham says, and he gets Ma'ariv also. The Yesham gets Ma'ariv also. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, there are two Pshatim. Which Ma'ariv does he get? He gets tomorrow night's Ma'ariv? Or he gets last night's Ma'ariv? Oh, so the Mishnah Berurah likes the Pshat. That's the meaning in most places. He gets last night's Ma'ariv. That whoever is scheduled to say Slichas tomorrow morning, he's supposed to let him daven Ma'ariv tonight. So that doesn't fit in. If he say the other understanding, which the Mishnah Berurah is not happy with, but he quotes some Achronim understood, he has the schus to daven Ma'ariv after the Mincha that he davens. He has the schus to daven Shachris, and Mincha, and the Ma'ariv following. So then you can say that's Om Lo Gemor. But the way the common practice is that he gets the Ma'ariv before, this pshat does not fit in. You're right? Even precedes a chiyuv, that's what it says. Yeah, even if they say, usually shiva is someone davens at home, yeah. But shloshim, let's say shloshim, a yud beis chodesh, it says in Shulchan Aruch that he even takes precedence over the chiyuv. Most of the achrayim hold like that, takes precedence over the chiyuv. If he wants to be mevater, it's a schus that he has, like a schus mama. If he wants to be mevater on the schus and give it to the one who's an oval, he doesn't hate, very nice. But if he doesn't want to, so he gets the first crack at it. So the slichas is not only a hakdomah to Shachris, it's even a hakdomah to the other tefillas. And according to one version, the tefillas even it's a hakdomah to the Ma'ariv also, because even though the beginning of the day begins with Ma'ariv, Vayera Vayivoyker, Shabbos and Yom Tov, everything begins at night, and Hayom Halach Achar Alayla, all according to the Jewish calendar, the days begin with Seisa Kochavim. But as far as davening is concerned, that's what the other Achrayim hold. No, the davening series is like Tom Shal Shachar, Tom Shal Ben Abayim, and Haktores Emurim, Kol HaLayla. So the Ma'ariv is a Gemara of the Shachris and the Mincha. Not the same. That's a different. Yeah.
It's after the Shmoneh. You say the Slichas, right.
Right, he thought that this is only the Balei HaTosfos who introduced the Slichas. Used to say the Slichas in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. And we don't do that anymore. So we say after the Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris. But in the days of Embroyers, they still do like that. They still, and then they say Slichas for 15 minutes on a tiny Sibur. And then they finish the Bracha of Slachlon. Middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. Yeah. Middle of the Bracha of Slachlon. There are more quotes that our minig is that we blow shofar all month long, a very old minig, and the minig is recorded in the Pirkei de Rab Lezer. Pirkei de Rab Lezer is preceded the Mishnayos by Rab Lezer Agadol, by the Tana Rab Lezer Ben Hurkanes. So the minig is that you blow shofar every day starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul to be Mara, the people to Tshuva, to prepare for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, except for Erev Rosh Hashanah. The minig is you don't blow shofar. So the They give two different reasons in Shulchan Aruch, why not? So the one is a halachic reason, that's an interesting reason. The halachic reason, the non-halachic reason, that's the more popular one. Kedela harbeves ha-sotan. You totally confuse the sotan, that you're blowing shofar all month long, and all of a sudden you don't blow shofar there, and you blow shofar there, to confuse everybody, yeah. Kedela harbeves ha-sotan. But the halachic reason that they give is based on a Gemara in Arvei Pesachim, the first daf in Arvei Pesachim. Kedela havdil bein kiyas derishus lit kiyas dechoiva. Fine, we have mitzvahs deraisa, we have mitzvahs derabbanan, we have minhagim, we have to observe everything with seriousness and properly. But still, we want everybody to know what the hierarchy of mitzvahs is. That a mitzvah deraisa is more important than a mitzvah derabbanan. Mitzvah derabbanan is more chashuv than a minig. Minig is all Torah, but it's still not even as chomer as a real din derabbanan, which in turn is not chomer as a real din deraisa. So the whole month of Elul of blowing shofar, that's only a minig. Rosh Hashanah is a real din deraisa, so we want to have a heker and a havdalah to indicate that Adkan is the end of the minig. Otherwise, it'll look as if we're just continuing the minig. The minig is you blow shofar for 30 days in a row, and then you continue to blow shofar into Rosh Hashanah. And this is based on the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim, on the second daf in Arvei Pesachim. If a person was eating on Erev Shabbos, and not supposed to, if a person is eating late in the afternoon Erev Shabbos, and then Kiddush Olav Hayom, then it gets dark, so what should he do? So the different opinions, so we pass in Paris map on the Kaddish. You should cover over all the chalas, cover over all the food on the table, and recite Kiddush. Why does he have to stop in the middle? So the Rashbam writes on the Gemara, Kadeh lahavdil bein achilas derishus, lachilas dechoyva. So here also, even though they're both a mitzvah, the one was a mitzvah of tkiyas shofar during Chodesh Elul is a minig, and on Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah deraisa, you still have to have a havdalah between the more important obligation and the less important obligation. Let's say Amoshal Amad Avadayma. When Yonte falls out Amatzoi Shabbos, so we say Havdalah, Amatzoi Shabbos. This year Yonte falls out on Erev Shabbos, so you don't say Havdalah when you go into Shabbos because you're going up in Kedusha. You don't say Havdalah when you're going down, when you go from Yonte to Chol HaMoed, or Shabbos to Chol, or when you go from Shabbos to Yonte, you're going down. So when Yonte is Amatzoi Shabbos, so the Nusach HaBrocha is HaMavda Ben Kodesh LeKodesh. And the Avodram points out where is the source in the Tanakh. Every Lashon in the Siddur is based on a Lashon in Tanakh. So where does this appear in Tanakh that there's a concept of Hamaldim in Kodesh LeKodesh? So he points out, the Pasuk says that you have to have a Paroches hanging, separating between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Pasuk says, V'vidila Paroches Lachan Ben HaKodesh Ben Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have to be Mavdol. Kodesh HaKadoshim is a higher Madrega and the Heichal is a slightly lower Madrega. There are certain avodas that can only be done in the Kodesh HaKadosh and cannot be done in the Heichal. So you have to have a parochas for that, for the sake of Havdalah. You have to be mavdal. We have many mitzvahs. We have 613 mitzvahs, and we should observe them all with zeal and commitment and excitement and so on. But still, you have to have a priority. You have to know what the hierarchy is. Some mitzvahs are more important than others. And when there's an instance of a conflict, so you have to determine which, the one that's more important is going to win. So here also, we want to be mavdal bein tkiyas that are only a minig and tkiyas that are real mitzvah deraisa. You shouldn't think that the minig is just as important. You should observe them in hagim with fervor and with the zeal, but it's still nowhere near a real din deraisa. You have to be mavdal.
Also, should make a mistake again.
I mean, that's why we blow the whole Chodesh Elul.
Yeah.
But why don't you blow on... Yeah. Yeah, that we don't blow on ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good question. I don't know. Good question. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the tshuva that the Aruch sent. They quote it as if Rashi sent the Shaila to the Aruch. Ben Shloima. Rashi quotes the Aruch every so often, but the Rashi corresponded. It's questionable. Anyway, the Aruch wrote a tshuva to somebody, Rabbeinu Shlomo, who lived in a different country. The author of the Aruch lived in Rome. Rashi lived in France. It's questionable whether they correspond. Was there a mail delivery between Rome and France? I don't know. But anyway, they quote in Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch says, if you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, so when do you perform the bris? So he says you perform the bris right before the Tkiyas Shofar. So the Prima Gordon raises the question, why was there a Shaila all of a sudden? When do you perform the bris? When do you normally perform the bris?
Morning.
Normally he performed the bris in the morning, at the end, normally at the end of davening before Aleinu. Yeah, by us, that's in Europe, they used to have a little community, so when they had a bris, everybody attended the bris. By us, we don't do like that. You have a big shul, and you have a bris, say here for the people are going to stay, here for the people are not going to stay. So we finish the whole davening, we say the shul shalom and everything, and then after everything is all over, whoever wants to leave, leaves, and then we say, we have the bris, and then we say Aleinu l'shabiach again. Because the bris is an indication that the Jews have a Bechiris Yisroel. We're different from the Ummah Soilim. But if you have a little village and everybody's going to attend the bris, so why should you say Aleinu twice? So you schedule the bris right before Aleinu. So Manash Tana and Rosh Hashanah, why did the Orach all of a sudden change the minig? Why didn't, if they, why was there a Shaila? Why didn't they just say, you have the bris right before Aleinu, at the end of the davening, after Musaf, after the Chazar HaSashat, before Aleinu? So the Prima Godim writes an interesting comment. He thinks that by the time the Orach wrote this tshuva, the reason why there was a shaila was because they already had the minig that you daven so many piyutim on Rosh Hashanah, you finish after Chatzos. Many shuls that is the practice. Maybe most shuls that is the practice. Yeah. And broyers, they finish, they start taka at 5 o'clock and they finish way before Chatzos and everybody's home and then they kiddush before Chatzos. That's wonderful, okay. But the rest of the world, or in some place they daven vasikin.
Some people don't Shabbos and make kiddush afterwards.
Okay. Okay.
And I daven this year, that's what they used to do.
Yeah, they still have a kiddush.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't know, but the Prima Godim says that on a normal day, even Shabbos, Yom Tov, whatever, since normally you're going to finish Aleinu before Chatzos, so have the bris before Aleinu, there's no problem. But he says Rosh Hashanah and the Minig develop that they say so many piyutim on Rosh Hashanah, by the time you're going to get to Aleinu, if you're going to have the bris by Aleinu, it's going to be after Chatzos. And the Gemara says in the beginning of Psochim that Mitzvah's Mila, strictly speaking, is Kol HaYom Zmano. You can do the bris mila early in the morning, you can do it before the shkia. You can't do a bris balayla. You can do it a minute before the shkia is also good. But the reason makdim la mitzvah says should be done early, early. So early, early doesn't mean you have to dafka daven at the vasikin minyan. To have somebody in Eretz Yisrael wrote a whole, put out 2 volumes of Hanhogas of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He used to walk Rav Shlomo Zalman home every day after davening. He used to ask him questions and then he wrote everything down. So he has every sneeze, every cough that Rav Shlomo Zalman ever said, every Narishkeit, he wrote everything down. But he has a lot of very interesting things there, but in the Gel Halacha. So he says that one Talmud Chacham, he tells you who it is, a famous figure in Eretz Yisrael, Rebbe in one yeshiva, had a bris, and he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman if he'll be the son next day. He said, fine. And then the Talmud Chacham said, but he wants to do Zriz Magdim LeMitzvahs, so he wants to have the minyan Vasikin. Vasikin means that you get to the Shmoneh Esrei at sunrise. He wants to have the bris right away. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I'll daven at the 8 o'clock minyan, and I'll come to your bris, and I'll be the sandek. So he said, but he wants to do this. He said, get yourself a different sandek. You want me to be the sandek, I'll daven at the 8 o'clock minyan. So his reason, Magdiv, means you should, within reason, you should have the bris as early as possible, within reason that the people should come. So what happens if you have the bris 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock? Okay, so Mishka fellow, what if you have the bris 2 o'clock in the afternoon? So the Prima Godim says that's already a violation of his Zriz Magdim. To have a bris after Chatzos, you could have had it the first half of the day. So you have 50% of the day went by already. So that's already a violation of his Zriz Magdim. So he understands, Prima Godim understands that that's what the issue was over here. Because on Rosh Hashanah you get to Aleinu so late, so the mamish be a violation of his Zriz Magdim lemitzvahs to have the bris after Musaf before Aleinu. So that was the issue. That's why the Esther Shaila of the Yoruch. That's why he said you should have the bris before Tkiya Shofar. But if it would have been by the Yekes that they finished davening before Chatzos, so the Orach wouldn't have changed it. That's how the Prima Godim says. He would have left the bris before Aleinu, after Musaf, before Aleinu, at the normal, the same time that they have all week long, all year long. The Taz quotes that on one occasion the Baal Tekeah was the Moil and he first did the bris and then he did the Tkiya Shofar and he didn't wash his mouth out He thought that it would be nicer to have the dam. The dam is not a chatzitza because it's lach. If the dam would be dried off dam, it would be a problem of a chatzitza between his mouth and the shofar. But it was dam lach, so the Gemara says not a chatzitza. So he thought that that's this thing. Stas quotes the Talmud Chacham and enhances the connection between the tkiyah shofar and the bris milah. But it doesn't mean you have to try to get a moyel who is a Baal Takeah. In that case, when the moyel was the Baal Takeah, so he didn't wash his mouth out. He did mitzitz and he left the dam in his mouth to make a connection and a combination between the bris and the tkiyosha. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes all the dinim of tkiyah shofar. It's interesting. They quote a din that never says in the Gemara. The Ramban has this in the Drashas HaRamban LeRosh Hashanah. It didn't, it never says in the Gemara, but the Ramban says that it's a Dovah Pasha, the different animals have different horns. So sometimes the horn is solid, hard material, and sometimes, and you have to drill a hole through. And sometimes the horn has flesh inside, so you have to just scrape out the flesh. You soak it till you make it loose, and then you scrape out the flesh. So the Ramban says if the horn is solid, hard material, he said that's by definition not called a shofar. Because the word shofar comes milosh and shpoferis. Shpoferis means hollowed, like a tube, or like a straw is a shpoferis. So he says it's only considered a shofar, it's a double portion, he says it's only considered a shofar if the horn has flesh inside, and then you remove the flesh. And the Gemara says, katcha b'zachrusai, what happens if you didn't scrape out all the flesh, you just drilled a hole through the flesh? When the Baal Takeah blows shofar, the air goes in the middle of the flesh in the middle. So the Gemara says it's also good. Or let's say not only did you scrape out the flesh, you thinned out the horn part, and it's very, very thin. So the Gemara says it's also good. It's not only a shofar if you take out the fleshy part and you leave the horn part, even if you just make a hole through the flesh, it's also good. Kotcha b'zachruso. Or if emidu al gilda, if you scraped off everything, it's also good. But b'medvar mamurim, only if the shofar is such a horn that is like a shvaferis to begin with, that it has a zachrus and it has a nakrus, it has a hard part and it has the soft part inside. But if it's solid horn and you drill a hole, that's the first sif in the Shulchan Aruch, that's not acceptable. That's the Ramban's chiddush, and he holds that that's a poshut, double poshut. Interesting. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ran, also adds on a chiddush, that the shofar is only acceptable if it's from a kosher animal. If you use a shofar from a non-kosher animal, that's not acceptable. How does he know that that's so? So this is based on a Gemara in Masechah Shabbos and Perek Mamad Madlikin. But the Gemara says you can only use Menamuta Beficha. Yeah. The original pasuk, L'man Tia Teres Hashem Beficha Menamuta Beficha, goes on writing Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah, where you have Teres Hashem, where you have Psukim. So you can only write Psukim on a klaf from a kosher animal. If the klaf is from a non-kosher animal, it's not acceptable to write Divrei Torah. What about the Ritzuas of the Tefillin? There are no Divrei Torah written, no Psukim written on the Ritzuas. So the Gemara said that's not covered with the pasuk L'man Tia Teres Hashem Beficha Menamuta Beficha. So for that you have to have a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, an oral tradition that goes l'huchshuru l'malach ha-shamayim elor behem ha-torah b'lvad. It's not acceptable to use for malach ha-shamayim, for mitzvahs, unless the leather comes from a kosher animal. So that's really a shaila. That gemara l'huchshuru l'malach ha-shamayim, the gemara happens to be talking about ritzuas, or the gemara is talking about the mishkan. The mishkan and the midbo is made from the tachash, from the leather of the tachash animal. So the Gemara says the Tachash doesn't exist this man is there. The Tachash was only there in that generation. So the Gemara is wondering, was it a kosher animal? Was it a non-kosher animal? The Espendos, what kind of an animal was the Tachash? The Gemara said, it must have been a kosher animal. You're not allowed to use a non-kosher animal, the Malach HaShamayim. You can only use our Behemoth HaMalach. So the two examples that the Gemara has is that Tachash must be a kosher animal because they used the hide, Oris Choshem, they used the hide, the skin of the Tachash, for the roof of the Mishkan, to protect it that it shouldn't rain in. And you can only use leather, hide from a kosher animal for its tzus of tum. So they both are talking about tashmishi kedusha, things that have kedusha. The Mishkan has kedusha, and the tzus of the tum have kedusha. What about a shofar? A shofar doesn't have kedusha. A shofar is only tashmishi mitzvah. So even in tashmishi mitzvah, you also apply the klal of l'huchshu l'malach shamayim. So that's really a chiddush of the Ran. And others disagree. Others think that there are many Rishonim who seem to disagree and limit it only to Tashmishi Kiddushin, not to Tashmishi Mitzvah. They point out that Rabbeinu Tam writes in Yevamos, the Gemara has a machlokes Tanaim by the sandal shel chalitza. When you perform the mitzvah of chalitza, when a man is married and he dies leaving no children, and he's survived by a brother, so the brother is supposed to do chalitza with the almana, with the yevamah. So when you have a chalitza mitzvah, so the Tanaim have a machlokes, does the chalitza shoe have to be made from leather, or is it even good if it's made from wood? Made from other materials. If you have a chalitza shoe that doesn't protect the foot, it's only made from cloth. So that's not called a shoe. That's for sure not. It has to be megan. But you can have a shoe that's megan and it's not made from leather. Let's say sneakers are megan. Or in Holland, they say that some people still wear wooden shoes. So that's a machlokes HaTanaim. Whether the definition of a shoe requires dafka that it should be made from leather, or not necessarily so. So that's l'maaseh, that's what we paskin. That on Yom Kippur, as long as the shoes are not made from leather, there's no violation of wearing a shoe. And on Tisha B'Av and in Shiva Rachmana Litzlan, people wear anything other than a leather shoe. So that's what we pass on. There are other Rishonim passing like the other Tanoim, that doesn't even have to be made from shoe. It doesn't have to be made from leather. So the Rabbeinu Tam in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza says that the Chalitza shoe has to be made from leather from a kosher animal. If it's made from a non-kosher animal, it's not acceptable. Why? Where's his mocker? So Gita Mocker, how did this Tana arrive at his position? The Tana who insists that the shoe only has the status of a shoe for a Tisha B'Av and for Yom Kippur, for Sitting Shiva, and for Chalitza, for all these four cases, some of their Isis, some of their Abonah. The shoe is only called the shoe if it's made from leather, if it's made it is not. How did he know? It's based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel. The Pasuk describes that when the Rabbanu Shalom took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he took care of us. Like a parent, like a mother takes care of the baby, that they straighten out the legs and they wipe off, they wash off the baby and they clean off the baby and they smear on oil and they put on a diaper and they take care of everything. And then the pasuk continues, "Ve'enolech tochash," and I took care of you and I put on leather shoes from a tachash animal. So the tachash animal, so Rabbeinu Tam says, that's the mocker, that it's only called a na'al, ve'enolech tochash. It's only called a shoe if it's made from leather. Because the pasuk in Yecheskel the Navi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Bnei Yisrael like a parent would buy leather shoes for a child. So you see, it's only called the shoe if it's leather. Benolech tochash, the nail was made from tachash leather. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, well, once that's the mocker, so you see that it has to be a kosher animal. If it's horse leather, then it's not acceptable because tachash was a kosher animal. So what does Rabbeinu Tam mean to say? You're allowed to wear horse leather. Most of the shoes that we have wear horse leather. So you're allowed to wear our shoes on Yom Kippur then. It's horse leather. It's only called a nal in Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur and Shiva. So what do you have to wear sneakers for? You can wear regular shoes. It's horse leather. So can't be. We never heard. That's ridiculous. Rabbeinu Tam, probably that's what Doruch HaShulchan says. He only meant by the mitzvah. Chalitza is a mitzvah. So an object of a mitzvah, there I say, has to be from a kosher animal. The huchshu, the melech shamayim, alor behem etar bovat. So the Rabbeinu Tam apparently also holds like the Ran, this Ran, that not only is this an insistence in the area of Tashmishi Kedusha, like the roof of the Mishkan, or the Ritzuas of the Tefillin, which have the status of Tashmishi Kedusha, even in Tashmishi Mitzvah, namely by a Shofar, or by a Sandal Shel Chalitza, it doesn't have Kedusha. After you finish the Chalitza, if you want, you can throw it out in the garbage. We wouldn't recommend it. It's an expensive thing to make a special shoe. And someone else is going to need it. So we save the sandal shel chalitza. We use it over and over and over again. Every time there's a case of a chalitza, you use it again. And the shofar also, if you want, you can throw the shofar out after Rosh Hashanah. You don't have to save it. You don't have to put it in Shemus if you want to get rid of it. You throw it in the garbage in Shemus. Same as an old talus. If you're not going to use the talus, you throw it out. It doesn't have kiddush. It's only tashmish and mitzvah. So this Ran seems to be saying the same as the Rabbeinu Tam, that not only is there a halacha of Moshe Mitzinai, regarding Tashmishi Kedusha, even in the area of Tashmishi Mitzvah, we also insist that it has to be kosher. Mishnah mentions the din that you're supposed to blow shofar in the middle of the Chazaras Hashatz after Malchias and after Zechrinus and after Shofars. And the Gemara says that this is only when you're davening Tefillah B'Tzibuch Chazaras Hashatz. Let's say a person is davening privately, he's sick in the hospital, he can't kinko to a minyan. So even though he has a shofar, he knows how to blow, even if he has a bal takeya, it's not a problem of him getting confused. No one's going to get confused. This din simply doesn't apply. The mitzvah, the mishnah that says the halacha, he has tkiyas, I'll say the habrachas, if the malvin chen shofar is only applicable b'chever ir, only when you're davening tefillah b'tzila. It's very interesting. Rashi's opinion seems to be in the Gemara consistently. Every time the topic comes up, Rashi seems to hold the Feirish that this is a din deraisa. Tkiyas al seida abrachas is a din deraisa. It's a din deraisa. So why should it make a difference whether it's biyachid or b'tzibur? Very interesting. The din deraisa, tkiyas al seida abrachas, only applies when you're davening tefillah b'tzibur. Ramban is not happy with the Rashi. Ramban al Chumash and Parshas and more points this out. The Rashi seems to hold that Kiyas, Rashi and Chumash also seems to hold. Rashi and the Gemara is explicit. It's not seems to be. It's explicit that Kiyas in connection with the Tefillah, with the Malchus Chen Shofar, is a din deraisa. The Ramban is not happy. He thinks that it's only with the Rabbanon. New Melas, if you say it's only with the Rabbanon. So the Chachamim only made the Takana by Chazaras Hashat. They never made a Takana when a person is davening b'yichidus. But if you all like Rashi, that it's a real din min haTorah. So why should you distinguish between Tefillah B'Tzibah and Tefillah B'Yochid? So apparently it plays a role, Tefillah B'Tzibah plays a role on the level of Deraisa and Rosh Hashanah. Sounds a little bit like there's another Ramban there in Parshas Hemor. Ramban says that you have to daven Tefillah B'Tzibah on Shabbos Yontev is a din min haTorah. Every day of the year that you daven Tefillah B'Tzibah is because you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. The Gemara says, Hein kel kabir lo yimos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu mois b'Tefillos HaRabim. So the whole purpose of davening is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer your prayers. It's not just a mitzvah to talk. So if you daven Tefillah B'Tzibah, you stand a better chance, even if you don't deserve it. But Agav D'Tzibur and the Schus HaTzibur, you'll stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. But the Ramban says on Shabbos and Yontif, it says in Chumash that it's Mikra Kodesh. The Ramban says that the word Mikra means to get together, to assemble together. Like it says, Ela Krueho Edo. These are the people who used to gather together to discuss issues of the Kehillah. In Chumash it says Krueho Edo. So he says the phrase Mikra Kodesh, that's a description on Shabbos and Yontif, means a day of holy assemblage. That the Klal Yisrael, the minyan, should gather together to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur, to have Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, to have a Drasha B'Tzibur, a public shir, some kind of Ruchnias B'Tzibur. And the Beis Yosef quotes this Ramban in Hilchas Pesach, and he writes that he thinks that those who composed the Nusach HaTefillah, as we say it, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, whoever, Tanoim, Amoraim, he says they seem to have held like the Ramban, because they incorporated this expression, Mikra Kodesh, into the Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei. What does it got to do with the davening Mikra Kodesh? He says, if you say like the Ramban, the Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage, that everybody should gather together to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur. So the Beis Yosef writes, we understand why the Mistakne HaTefillah, why those who composed the Nusach HaTefillah incorporated this Nusach into the Shemoneh Esrei, because it has to do with the davening. So once you say like that Ramban, that Tefillah B'Tzibur plays a role on the level of Deraisa on Shabbos and Yontif, then it's very reasonable. It's not so unreasonable to say that this special halacha, that you should blow shofar, kiyas al seida habrachas, at the conclusion, a malchus chen shofar, it only applies when you're davening b'tzibur. If you daven b'yachid, it doesn't apply. That's the Shulchan Aruch quotes this from the Gemara. It only applies when you daven b'tzibur.
But the kiyas should be the shtel shmonesra and the
hoich shmonesra b'tzibur. The only source we have, Tosis, there's a long Tosis, Lama Gimel Beis, where Tosis talks about all the issues of Tkiyah Shofar, all the famous issues. So Tosis quotes that from the Aruch. The Aruch is a Rishon, the days of Rashi, Taka, before, earlier than Rashi, older than Rashi. So the Aruch writes that we blow Tkiyahs before Musaf, that's what the Gemara calls Tkiyahs the Miyushav. Then we blow Tkiyahs in the middle of the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei, after everybody finished Malchus, everybody finished Achronis, everybody finished Shabbos. Then we blow Tkiyahs in the Hoiche, Shemoneh Esrei, in the Chazaras Hashad, after Malchus Achronis Shabbos. Yeah. The Aruch holds like that. That you have to blow in the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei also. The Rabbi Nezer, by the Chassidim, they all do like that. They blow in the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. So Rabbi Nezer writes in a tshuva, he says, I'm a Chassidish Rebbe, so that's what I do for a living. I have to see to it that they blow shofar and the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. But he says, it's terrible. He says, if I wouldn't be a Rebbe, I wouldn't have done it.
Why?
Everybody gets totally confused. No one knows where you're holding. Some people are still in the first bracha, other people finished the whole Shemoneh Esrei already. So remember, Rav Soloveitchik also used to blow in Maimonides. It was a little minion. There were, I think, less than 30 people. When I used to go to Maimonides, it was a very small minion. They had a very small crowd, so he used to explain to them what he's going to do. He's going to daven the Shtilish Manasri a little loud. He always used to daven that. He's going to daven the Shtilish Manasri loud enough that everybody should hear. He said everybody should synchronize their davening with him. And when he gets to the end of Malchus, they should all wait at the same time, and the Baltikeh is going to blow. And he says everybody should say Zechronus along with me. When you get to the end of Zechronus, wait and pause and wait until the Baltikeh blows Shosh. Yeah, but it's always very confusing. He said that Rav Chaim used to make a small minyan in Brisk and Rosh Hashanah, and he used to blow tkiyas in the Shtilish Manasseh. But in the big shul, he said he wouldn't introduce it. He said it wouldn't make sense. In a big shul, the Olam will get totally confused. To blow Shoif in Chassidim, they blow in a big shul also, in the Shtilish Manasseh Tak. Everybody gets confused. In a small minyan, he said, Nei Chetes. It's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik said, where did Rashi get this from? That tkiyas al seder abrachas, that there's a connection on the level of the Rashi. Where's the mocker? Rashi in his commentary al Chumash quotes the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara gives a mocker that you have to recite Malchus Zechernes and Shofers. There's a mocker. Ramban holds that the whole thing is an asmachta, and it's all midirabban. And Rashi holds that it's a drosha more that it's minatur. But where did Rashi get this sign for that the tkiyas connected with the brachas? Where's that? Where's the mocker for that? The Gemara never really quotes a pasuk for that. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that the Gemara has a din that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, this year Rosh Hashanah is not on Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar. The first, the Gemara thought that it was a din min haTorah, based on a contradiction between two pesukim. One pasuk, Rosh Hashanah is described as Yom Truah Yelachem, a day on which we actually blow shofar. The other pasuk is described as Zichron Truah, a day on which we talk about tkiyas, but we don't really blow shofar. So which is it? Do we talk about tkiyas or do we actually blow shofar? So the Gemara says, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday, then you actually blow shofar. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it's Zichron Truah. You talk Lahaskir Truah. You talk about tkiyas, but you don't actually blow shofar. Then the Gemara ridicules that. The Gemara says, that's not true. That's not correct. This halacha is not a din min haTorah. How can you say based on a pasuk? It's only a gzeirah midirabbanan that you don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. We're afraid that someone's going to forget and carry the shofar. So the Gemara says, it's only midirabbanan. So the Gemara leaves you hanging. So what happened to the apparent contradiction between the two pesukim? The one pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as a day on which you actually blow shofar. The other pasuk describes it as a zichron truah. Just talk about kir shofar. So the Gemara never answers the stirah. So some achrayim say, no, it's the same answer as before. But this takana de Rabbanan was already made in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the pasuk is alluding to that takana de Rabbanan. Moshe Rabbeinu already made the gzera de Rabbanan, that when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, he's not allowed to blow shofar. But most achrayim hold that historically that's just not correct. Balatanya writes, it's a dova pasha, the dova yadua, that this gzera and all the gzeras were made in, during the period of the Bai Shein. It wasn't in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. How can the other achrayim say it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara never really answers this theory between the two psukim. Which is it? Is it Yom Truah, day on which you actually blow shofar? Or is it Zichron Truah, you just talk about Tkir shofar? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, Mistama Rashi at Hashtanim, that Zichron Truah means you talk davening in connection with the Tkiyas. Yom Truah means you blow shofar. Zichron means Lahaskir, to talk, but not to talk about Tkiyas, as opposed to blowing shofar. You talk a lot of davening in conjunction with the Tkiyas shofar. So that's where Rashi understood. Yeah, the psukim did indicate you have to say Malchus Zechronus and Shofers. That's other psukim. And this pasuk says Zichron Truah Lahaskir. You do a lot of talking and mentioning in connection with the Shofer. So Rashi put two and two together, and he said that's the pshat in the Zichron Truah. You should mention the Malchus Zechronus and Shofers themes in connection with the Tkiya Shofer. That's apparently how Rashi understood that. It's a real din derais. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's only midirabbanan. You're missing a mitzvah deraisa. You're missing two mitzvah. You're missing tkiyas shofar, which is deraisa, and you're missing the kiyum of tkiyas al seder abrachas, which is also deraisa. You're missing two dinim deraisa according to Rashi. According to Ramban, you're missing tkiyas shofar. You're missing that deraisa. But the Ramban holds the whole malchus chen shofar is only midirabbanan. So the whole din of tkiyas al seder abrachas according to Ramban is clearly only midirabbanan. But Rashi holds not so. That Kiyas al Seder Abrachas is their rice. if you didn't, yeah. No, you still have an obligation to blow shofar. You won't be fulfilling the mitzvah b'shleimus. Yeah, minatar. The mitzvah b'shleimus and minatar is to have the both combined together. That the key is, I'll say the abrochas. That both combined together. One of the rabbanim, one of the young rabbanim, came to the yeshiva today. He's all aggravated. He just got a rabbinical position, and he has his first major problem. His baltekeya is deaf. His baltekeya has a hearing aid in one ear. So he said to the baltekeya, "But in the other ear, you hear." He says, "No, the other ear, he hears nothing. The other ear, he hears nothing. And in this ear, the koshi, if he takes out the hearing aid, he can hear a little bit, but he doesn't take out the hearing aid. He leaves the hearing aid in. So the shaila is, can he be the baltekeya? A deaf man, can a deaf man be a baltekeya? So there are two issues. The Gemara says that you're not yaitze tkiya shofar if you don't hear. Even though I'm blowing the shofar, even though I'm blowing, in general there's a machlokes when you say kriyashma, when you say kiddush, when you say birchas hamazon. When there's a mitzvah of amirah, do you have to be mashmir liyaznav liyikuva? Lechatzili, you have to say the kiddush and the kriyashma so loud that you should hear it. Mashmir liyaznav. But the Gemara Brachas has a machlokes Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of the second parak. Is that ma'akeh b'riyevet? If a person mumbled softly the benching and he says kriyashma softly, didn't say it loud enough that he should hear, is he yaitze b'riyevet? So we paskin b'riyevet, you are yaitze. Even lo hishmir liyaznav. And the Rambam says, but the one exception of shofar though. If you, even though you're blowing shofar, but if you don't hear, you're absolutely not yaitze. The Gemara says you yourself are blowing shofar and you only hear an echo. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah you're not yaitze. Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. So the din is that if a person doesn't hear the tkiyas, he's not yaitze, even though he himself is blowing. So the Gemara says the Farish, if a person is deaf and he cannot hear, so he's considered not b'chuyi b'dobo. He's like an isha in the gear to shofar. He's like a cheresh out of a kot, like an ochri. So he cannot be the bal tekeh to be moitzi everybody else. Mishenim b'chuyi. But the problem is, he doesn't blow. He gets confused when he doesn't hear his hearing aid. He gets disoriented because he's used to listening with the hearing aid, and one ear everything functions well. So the shaila is, can he blow shofar to be moitzi with tzibur if he himself is only hearing through the hearing aid? Can he be moitzi with tzibur? What? Okay. But the shaila is now, the way it's standing now, he's listening with his hearing aid. He can't hear without it, so therefore he's mechuyev in tkiya shofar. He's a mechuyev b'dava. So the shaila is, but right now he's not hearing the kol ha-shofar. The kol ha-shofar is converted into electrical current. And then it's converted back to an electrical current into sound waves again. And then he hears it. So that's the shaila. Is that called hearing the shofar?
But he even if he doesn't hear...
That's another shaila.
Let's say somebody...
It's a more serious shaila.
Let's say somebody...
But the boss is not asking that shaila.
A good Valkeia, he stuffs up his ears and he blows out. He's not yoitzu, but he can be yoitzu everybody else.
That's the shaila.
Yeah.
Take for example... A person was in shul, he was ready yoitze, and then he goes after the meal, he goes to the hospital to blow for the other people who were not able to come to shul. So the second tkiya shofar is not for him, it's for them. So what does he have to listen to the tkiyas? So let's say he'll put something in his ear, he doesn't hear the tkiyas at all. Doesn't hear the tkiyas. Are they yoitze? So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva that they're not yoitze. Avnei Nezer proves from an Afani Gemara that they're not yoitze, even though he doesn't have to hear. He was ready yoitzei in shul. He's only blowing for them. He wants to be yoitzei then. He has enough in the Gemara. They're not yoitzei unless he hears. So they're yoitzei along with him. He's still obligated. Means if there's still a Jew who didn't hear tkiya shofar yet, I'm still mechuyev to blow. I'm a bar chiyuva. I'm mechuyev to hear tkiyas a second time if it's going to help another Jew. I'm mechuyev to hear tkiyas a second time. But if
blow.
I block up you, not just to blow. I'm mechuyev to listen to tkiyas a second time if it's going to help someone. How's it going to help someone else if I hear? He's going to hear also. But if I block up my ears and the second time I blow, I don't hear, just they hear. They can't be yotzi without me being yotzi also. They're yotzi along with me. That's what Davnei Neza shows our Gemara. Is that Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael must be a very old man, Rav Lezer Plachinsky. He's a son-in-law of Rav Aryeh Levin, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So this Rav Lezer Plachinsky put out a sefer many years ago. So he has this chiddush in his sefer, and he says he showed it to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish was masking with him. So I remember one occasion he said over the shir in Washington Heights. So after the shir I walked over and I told him, Davnei Neza says that. So he said yes, many years later, after he printed it, after he heard it from the Chazon Ish, who was masking, he found Davnei Neza says. But at the time that he printed the sefer, he didn't know that. So that's what they said. That's what Davnei Neza and the Chazon Ish, and this Rav Lezer Plachinsky, they have an often a Gemara. With kimat black and white, that you cannot be mitzi the others with the tkiyah shofar unless you yourself hear the tkiyah shofar also. So that's the issue of here. Suda's haste, listening to tkiyah shofar if he hears through a hearing aid. So that's a shaila. That's a shaila. No, but the shaila is this considered hearing tkiyahs? Or is this considered hearing a sound that was made through electrical current? So Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik and the Chazon Ish and several others all are not sure about this. What's the din? Let's say it's not right to use a loudspeaker. Let's say they read the Megillah over a loudspeaker and it's crystal clear, everybody heard the Megillah over a loudspeaker. Are you Yotze? Is that called Shomea Koina? Or isn't that, that's not called Shomea. He didn't hear my voice. My voice was converted into electrical current and then it was converted back into different sound waves. So he didn't hear my voice. So Rav Moshe and the Rav and the Chazon Ish, they all think that there's a possibility that maybe you are Yotze. They're not so convinced that you're not Yotze. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in his sefer, he couldn't understand, how can that be? That's impossible. You're not hearing at all. It says it's converted, the sound waves are converted into electrical current and it's converted into a different sound wave. What has it got to do? There's no Shmi at all. Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that it's an impossibility. So if you telephone. So if you hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman, and you hold like the Avnei Nezer, you hold like the Avnei Nezer that the tzibur can't be yotzi unless the Baal Tekeh hears. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you hear through a hearing aid. It's out of the question. You're not hearing. So then, Tognish, no one's yotzi over here. The shaila is, though, that not everybody agrees with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you see Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish and Rav Soloveitchik, we weren't so convinced. Maybe it is called Shmir. And a Pela, Gabi Pela, not everybody's so convinced that the Avnei Nezer is right. Because the Avnei Nezer himself quotes Rabbi Kibbega and the people got him, if you want a post to say that I can blow Shofar for the others, even I don't hear anything, and they're Yotze and I'm not Yotze.
Does
it say that they are Yotze? And the Baal Tekeh himself, I thought Baal Tekeh himself is Yotze. But the Shaila is, if the Baal Tekeh himself is not Yotze, because there's no Shmiya, I don't think there's any Gemara that says that the Tzibur is Yotze, even though the Baal Tekeh is not Yotze. So the rabbi has a problem on his hands. Okay? Because this Baal Tekeh has the chazokah. This is his first Rosh Hashanah in this new position. Okay. Atzim v'achzim v'toy v'agut yor, everybody.
It's a suffix device of the Torah.
Yeah.
Not mitzvah to two spekes over here.
That's the shaila.
We don't, not mitzvah from two spekes in the Torah.